Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Awesome. So thank you for having me podcast. Currently, up until recently, I was the co-founder and CEO of a company named OnCourse. It's a small startup that was based in Austin. What we did, we basically invented an app that can help people decide what to eat based on their culinary profile. So basically, we knew each individual's own preferences regarding food, and then we search for the ideal meals around them from local restaurants based on their culinary profile.
Awesome. So did you sell the app, or like what's the current status?
Yeah, so the current status that the company was acquired recently by a POS provider in the Midwest, and I'm retired currently for the few months.
Awesome. So I'm just curious, right, in terms of like starting this company, is it like your first startup, or what did that look like for you?
Yeah, awesome. So indeed, this is my first startup, but it's my fourth company. So prior to these startups, I have a couple of small businesses, also had a patent for a mobile phone device. We had a couple of stuff going on. And we can say that the entrepreneurial journey was long lasting and soon to be better.
Awesome. So in terms of like this company specifically that you just sold, what gave you this business idea?
Interesting. So the initial idea that we ended up doing was, I don't think it's had any correlation to where we started. So initially, what we wanted to do is we wanted to create a platform that can help retailers upsell all of their surpluses. So basically, all of the leftover foods that we have around grocers, we wanted to sell that at a discounted price for customers around the world. That's what we wanted to do initially. So it's all about, you know, food waste. It was very green, impactful idea. But we pivoted because of demand. We just saw demand, and we saw how the customer in the market shifts, and we pivot towards the customers, and we ended up doing that, and it was a good call.
Awesome. So I guess I'm curious, right? Pivoting and iterating is critical in any business, but like, what specifically did you notice to make that pivot and iterate your business?
It's a good question. So one of the things that we really saw is the pattern of usage around different customers. So initially, when you open up a startup, so you start figuring out a solution to some problem, you think about that from firsthand of, and you go to customer and say like, okay, do you experience in this type of problem? But you don't ask what is the origin of the problem, or is the bigger problem that caused by this problem? So what we ended up seeing is the pattern of customers. We initially thought that retailers are our ICP is the ideal customer for us to have because of leftovers, but we saw massive amount of usage from restaurants, and it got us curious, like, because restaurants doesn't have a lot of food waste, so why? And then we discovered that restaurants use us to increase sales of the takeout channel, and the reason they do that, because this is the most profitable channel for restaurants, and they don't want to operate on deliveries, because deliveries is very low on margins. So we saw that pattern of usage, and then we're like, okay, this is a really painful problem. Can it be much more profitable than the retailer's problem? And we ended up figuring out that absolutely yes. We basically created a solution for the retailers, but we got adopted by the restaurants, and that's the reason why we pivoted.
So I'm just curious, in terms of how did you actually test this concept? Like, were you going around Austin like to different restaurants? Like, how did you actually go and make, you know, this proof of your new concept per se?
It's I think the answer is in the question that you just asked. That's what I did. I initially knocked on doors, door-to-door sales, knocked on doors to restaurants, looked for the manager, started to ask around, poking around. Some of them said yes. Some of them, you know, threw me off the balcony and said, we're not willing to talk to you. Are you at the IRS? And I'm like, no, I'm a young startup, and that's what I want. It's a really challenging market to operate on, the restaurants industry. That's how we started. We started initially by doing things that are not scalable at all. And then as we grow, we develop methods to be very scalable and very fast. And yeah, we started basically from manual processes.
So what kind of restaurants like are using the software?
Yeah, so right before, prior to the acquisition, we were supposed to hit around 2,400 restaurants around Austin, Chicago, and Boston area. Most of the restaurants are family owned, not franchisees. Even if it's a franchisees, it might be in a really small franchise, talking about two, three, maybe five location max. So the idea behind that is to create an environment that can help the small business owner, the restaurateur, to increase his takeout rate and takeout channel. And from two major aspects, the first one from the consumer aspect, that's the main reason we decided to focus in on takeout was to deliver the best quality assurance to our customers. We all know, you know, deliveries had a really interesting and challenging experience, and I'm gonna leave it at that. So we wanted to provide the best experience for the quality insurance of the food and takeout. Through the takeout, we could promise that initially. And the other aspect is really because of margins. This is the most profitable channel to restaurants, and it's an untapped market. And we are the only one to focus in on takeout, solely on takeout.
For sure, but I guess like in terms of vertical, right? I mean, like takeout is obviously one thing, but it's like a specific like Chinese or Mexican food, like anything like
family.
That.
Yeah, so it's a good question. We didn't focus on, it's a question that drags another question. What do we prioritize? So we prioritize the small businesses first, because that's where we saw we can bring the most impact, rather than focusing on franchise, which is much more, you know, long cycle of sale and long cycle of you know, business development and going into partnership. It's really complex, but it's taking a lot of time, and you're a startup, you don't have that much time, and you want to iterate fast, and don't be afraid to, you know, break things if you have to. And that's what we're focusing on the SMBs. We knew that if we could win this market, we can definitely go for the big ones and win that as well.
For sure. So was that your goal from day one to exit, or like, was it more of just like that you got like an offer that you couldn't turned down? Like, you know, what did that look like?
Yeah, sure. It's a good question. So regarding the acquisition, we didn't even thought about being acquired at that point. Don't want to go into politics, but you know,
for sure,
there is a lot of happening going on in Israel, and based upon what happened, I was drafted to reserve unit, and
wow,
all of the R&D was also drafted to reserve. So what happened is we didn't have pipeline. We didn't have the R&D to meet the demands of the business. And we decided to freeze operation for a bit. So I gathered all of the business partners and tell them, hey guys, we're going to freeze operation for a bit. We don't know what's going to happen. And one of them says, hey, I don't want you to freeze operation. Let's see how we can work this out. And from a call to finance and a call to legal and then call with him, we ended up getting an acquisition, an offer to acquire us. And then we decided to go with that.
So how long were you guys out like serving in Israel?
That's a good question. So mine specifically, almost from the beginning of what happened on the 7th of October. I got drafted to Miluim, was up the northern border, and most of the R&D was also around Gaza area. And yeah, that's
so great. You were serving for how many months from October to
over 100 days, something like
over 100 days.
Over 100
but
days.
During that time, like you guys were, and like at that point, like in parallel, your team was sort of looking for buyers to sell the business.
Not even close to that. So we had two different departments, we can say. We have the business, which is sits here in the States and
right.
Here and up and running, and we have the R&D, which is sits in Israel. So
right.
What happened is the business department is to, you know, generated meetings, generated new customers every day, and from product wise, we cannot withhold and withstand the amount of new customers. We can onboard in them, we can manage
right, right.
Them, technically speaking. So what happened is we got stuck in the pipeline, and that's really caused us to understand, like, okay, if we're not going to freeze operation, we're going to shut down operation in 6 months from now. So we might have just freeze operation now as soon as we can, but because you can always, you know, get more customers, but once you ruin your reputation, it's gone. So we would try like to be very authentic and say, hey guys, we cannot take that now. And yeah, that's what happened.
So what's next for you?
Interesting question. I think I'm going to prioritize focusing on family. That's something I neglected for the last 4 years from the company. I was married to the company. So now that I'm divorced, it's a good way to start again. So focusing on family, at least for now, I think I'm going to join an existing company. So mainly looking for opportunities and getting plenty of opportunities to join existing companies, mostly in the fintech area, to be honest. And that's it. Maybe going to start my company in 2 years from now.
But are you involved as part of like the transition from this new buyer that, you know, buyer company?
Yeah, I wish. It's a mixed feeling question because I wasn't that involved. So they acquired the product and killed the R&D in Israel. So basically they took the product, implement that to their POSs, and that's what happened. So we weren't initially thought about like being acquired. The main business we developed around OnCourse, the business strategy was amazing because we constructed the whole new business model to match with that capabilities and technology that we've created. And the acquisition part wasn't about the business, it was about the product, the technology. And that's why I have mixed feelings about that, because we worked so hard, you know, to perfect the level of business model and bring that to innovation. But yeah, you know, it is what it is.
So they essentially acquired like the business model and the customers, but the product side, they sort of integrate into their current product. And that's the end of the independent product, yep. You could say.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. So in terms of like a new opportunity, like, are you looking in Israel or in the States? Like, where are you looking for opportunities?
Yeah, so mostly I'm thinking about relocate to Austin area as well. Fell in love with Austin in the process. You know, going back and forth from Tel Aviv to Austin was a major thing. Fell in love with Austin in the process. I think I'm gonna relocate for a while to Texas area, and maybe gonna end up in Israel soon. I don't know.
Awesome. So, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
That's a good, really good question. I want to be very sassy and say don't listen to anyone, because eventually, and that's what I'm saying, when I turned investor, angel investor recently, and what I hear from a lot of I hear a lot of startups coming in for advice, and I say that I can give you an advice, and the reason I can give you an advice is because you are the only one who knows the market better than I do. No matter if you are happen to be startups in the same industry and create the same startup as we did, you still know better the industry from me. You know it better from I do. And the reason for that is because most of like the time involved in the process of learning the market is such a huge component. And a lot of startups, you know, they are demoralizing themselves by, okay, I want to get a feedback or get an advice from random investors who don't know, sorry for my friends, but he don't know shit, and I'm asking for advice from him. Like, it's going to be a bad advice anyway.
Right.
So always like be cautious, be optimistically cautious. And that's like, don't listen to anyone, and trust your gut in the process. We had some fire. We had some pushback from investors initially, but we ended up doing amazing because I decided to go with what I believe in. So that's one piece of advice.
For sure. I always feel like the best feedback is going to come from your paying customers, not just, you know, beta, like actually paying customers that are using the platform, because they're using your product and they're paying for it. So they have the best feedback for sure.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact with you?
Yeah, sure. Awesome. So the best ways to contact me through LinkedIn, I'm more than happy to. I have an open door policy. So if I'm answering a little bit late, it's because I have a lot of pipeline, but I'm going to answer anybody. So don't worry about that. LinkedIn is the best way. We can reach me out an email as well at amitamit@oncourse.com. Still managed to save the email. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Amit, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Dan. It was a pleasure.
Thanks. All right. Bye.